Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome aboard. It is December 16th. We move another day toward that day that we're not allowed to talk about. Christmas. So I'm going to say Merry Christmas anyway. Merry Christmas. Going to get in trouble for that. That's politically incorrect to talk about Christmas these days, folks. As you know, I'm not particularly religious, but I really get angry when I see the constant efforts by Jewish organizations in this country to suppress the name of Christ and to suppress the celebration of Christmas. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is the Jewish organizations that do that. I don't see Muslim organizations trying to suppress the celebrations of Christianity. I do see Jewish organizations trying to do it. That's a fact. Someday I have to dig up this book I have on my shelf. I know it's back here somewhere within about 3 feet of me. Written by a Jewish author and published by a Jewish publishing house, talking about the preeminent role of Jewish organizations in trying to ban prayer in schools and all manner of things related to the suppression of celebrations of Jesus Christ in America. Again, don't take my word on it. I'll find the book sometime, ladies and gentlemen. It's around here somewhere among many, many books on a variety of topics. Incidentally, one of our listeners dropped me a note recently in regard to, I had mentioned on the program that I have books about the occult in my personal library. That was in the context of discussing a book about vampirism, and I mentioned Jack McLamb in there because Jack McLamb launched Operation Vampire Hunter and all sorts of things. But in any case, I just want to emphasize for the listeners that just because I have books about the occult in my library, that doesn't mean they are books. They're not how-to books, ladies and gentlemen. They're not books that teach you how to engage in the occult. They're books that talk about the history of those who have engaged in the occult. Things, books like books on the history of the Salem witch trials, things like that. So I don't want anyone to get a little bit concerned and thinking that I'm out there practicing witchcraft or anything like that. But I can understand how someone might might take it that way. Well, very interesting items have popped up in the news that I'd like to comment on after we come back from the break. There's all manner of things, you know, that I can put my own little twist on. Somebody was asking me today how I prepare for my radio show, and I said, well, I just read the paper, and I see things in the paper that call up a variety of thoughts in my mind. I've had complaints over the years from some listeners that I'm very disorganized and that I go from one topic to another. Well, that's exactly the point, because there are so many different topics to discuss, but ultimately I think they're always interrelated. They certainly relate to the very sorry problems that have been imposed on America and the world by these corrupt misrulers here in Washington, D.C., who are no more than puppets for wealthy figures on Wall Street, in London, and Tel Aviv, with a scattering in Beverly Hills and Palm Beach. And Chicago, too, I might add. All right, stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen.
K Can't decide what to give your friends and family this Christmas? Why not give them the most unique gift available by helping them protect their credit card numbers and personal information from thieves? There are now millions of credit cards, debit cards, and passports in circulation that contain an RFID chip. These new cards and passports make transactions a breeze, but introduce a new threat to your personal information. These cards can be read while still in your wallet or purse. So this Christmas, give your friends and family a pack of secure sleeves from Identity Stronghold. Our radio blocking secure sleeves block the signals needed to read the RFID chip inside their new credit cards and passports, keeping their personal data safe and secure. You can buy them on the web at www.idstronghold.com. That's www.idstronghold.com. Or call toll-free 800-610-2770. 800-610-2770. Order now and get them in time for Christmas. Go to idstronghold.com today.
Hi, this is Tommy John. I may not be pitching for the major leagues anymore, but that doesn't mean I don't like to stay active. But like you, I get those pesky joint pains that come with age. So I take GoFlex. GoFlex is the 1-2 punch to knock out pain. It has an FDA-approved cream to quickly relieve joint pain and a doctor-approved vitamin that will guard your mobility and flexibility. So if you're suffering from pains associated with arthritis or the aches that come with age, GoFlex will help you. I know firsthand what pain is like. Years ago, they did a surgery on my arm so famous that they named it after me, the Tommy John surgery. Today, I don't let joint pain slow me down, and neither should you. If you're suffering from minor aches and pains, even the kind associated with arthritis, try GoFlex, risk-free. Thanks to GoFlex, even at my age, I can still throw batting practice.
To order GoFlex risk-free, dial 800-362-5848. That's 800-362-5848. 800-362-5848.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to libertystickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's libertystickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here. Would you believe that within about 30 seconds of going off the air or going to the break, I was able to dig up this book that I have talked about time and again on this program? But for the record, I have to tell you, I don't think the book was written by a Jewish author. His name is Greg Ivers, and Greg is spelled with three G's, G-R-E-G-G. Last name Ivers, I-V-E-R-S. He was billed at the time of the publication of this book in 1995. He was associate professor of government in the School of Public Affairs at American University. That's here in Washington. Greg, with two G's at the end, Ivers. And the book was published by the University Press of Virginia, and the copyright is held by the rectors and visitors of the University of Virginia. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the University of Virginia has never been considered to be an anti-Semitic, anti-Jewish, pro-Nazi, Hitler apologist, Holocaust-denying organization. And this book, which is entitled To Build a Wall, American Jews and the Separation of Church and State, is part of the Constitutionalism and Democracy series from the University Press of Virginia. And some of the editors and advisors, well, I guess they're not editors, but some of the publications are very, very clearly geared toward toward the Jewish community. One of the books they published is one by Amitai Etzioni, who's an eminent Jewish Israeli scholar. And there's another book they published by Martin Edelman, that's a Jewish name, Courts, Politics, and Culture in Israel. So this is obviously not a hate book. This is not a bigot book. This is not right-wing hatred. But what the book does say, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to read to you from the book itself. It's a very handsome book, as anything published by the University Press tends to be. It says, to build a wall represents the first extensive study of the effect of Jewish interest groups on church-state litigation. Ivers carefully traces the evolution of the American Jewish Committee, the American Jewish Congress, and the ADL from benevolent social service agencies to powerful organized interest groups active on all fronts of American politics and public affairs. In other words, the American Jewish Committee, the American Jewish Congress, and the ADL started out as benevolent social service agencies, but as this thing says here, ladies and gentlemen, they've turned into powerful organized interest groups active on all fronts of American politics and public affairs. The author, I'm continuing to read from the flyleaf, I think it's called. The author draws extensively upon original sources and archival materials from each organization, personal interviews over a five-year period, et cetera, et cetera. Ivers concludes that organized interests can and do have critical influence in the legal process, but that organizational needs and external demands result in a more ad hoc, less planned approach to law and litigation than much previous scholarship has suggested. Well, it goes on to say that there are these differences of opinion among Jewish organizations as to how to handle this subject. And, of course, you know, they don't always agree on everything. But the bottom line of it is, ladies and gentlemen, here is a very, very scholarly work from the University Press of Virginia saying that, yes, American Jews have played a major part in this concept of separation of church and state, which has been taken beyond the basic constitutional principle that no religion should rule over all others, and has instead been used in a very distinct campaign to hell, just to wipe out Christianity. You know, here it's funny, ladies and gentlemen, opening the book, I see a chapter on litigation and the public purse, the parochial school aid cases. Well, I know a lot of you anti-Catholic listeners out there didn't like the idea of Catholic schools getting any kind of government aid, either direct or indirect, and I can understand why you might object to any religion getting any kind of support from the government, and that is from the taxpayers. But bear in mind here today, ladies and gentlemen, and as it has been for a long, long time in this country, Jewish, quote-unquote, social service agencies and Jewish, quote-unquote, cultural organizations have been getting taxpayer money, federal taxpayer money, state and local taxpayer money. The way they get around it, ladies and gentlemen, is they say, well, this is not a religious organization. This is a cultural organization. Well, here, I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that's a fraud, it's a lie, it's a theft of the taxpayers' money. And the reason why the Jewish community gets away with it and their Jewish organizations get away with it, ladies and gentlemen, why is that? Now, you tell me, if Arian from California is listening in, I want him to tell me why Jewish cultural organizations can get taxpayer money because they're cultural and have nothing to do with quote-unquote religion. But I'm here to tell you, no Baptist church would get direct handouts from the federal government that way. No, folks, no, there is a reason why Jewish, quote-unquote, cultural organizations do get this money. And now, of course, a lot of Jewish organizations are on the national homeland security tit, getting money in the guise of anti-terrorism measures. You know, they redecorate the synagogue or they redecorate the Jewish community organization in the process of securing the building against terrorists. It's a lie and it's a fraud. And why again, I keep asking this question, why is it that they are able to get away with this, ladies and gentlemen? Is it just because all the politicians know that the Jews are God's chosen people? Is it that simple? Or is it just because of the fact that we're talking about cold, hard, political cash and clout? That's what we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen. That's exactly what it is. It's exactly what it is, and there's no denying it. No denying it. Speaking of this most uncomfortable subject, saw a very interesting article in the Washington Post today and the Washington Times. Professor Richard Falk, who is a Jewish professor who has written extensively and quite critically of Israel, had been named to a special United Nations post involving human rights. Well, it turns out Professor Falk has been barred from Israel. And in the meantime, a representative of the Nicaraguan government, I don't have the information handy, but a member of the Nicaraguan government has suggested that the Israelis have conspired against him. This is our grand little ally that never does anything, ladies and gentlemen. Very, very frightening. Very, very frightening. Interesting item also in the Washington Post, I do believe. No, I guess it was the New York Times, saying pretty much flat out, ladies and gentlemen, that Admiral Mullen, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, is far more in line with the geopolitical thinking of Barack Obama than he was with that of George W. Bush. I kind of got a chuckle out of that article, you know, because my good friend, the big shot lawyer, has it ground into his mind that George Bush was somehow as one with the military leaders, which, of course, we know was not true. We know that the military leaders repeatedly opposed the intrigues of George W. Bush and his kosher conservative, I mean neoconservative advisors, these armchair war hawks, none of whom ever served in the military, with the exception of one, Mr. Kagan, who did serve in the Israeli military. But none of these war hawks, including people along the lines of Newt Gingrich and Dick Cheney, Newt Gingrich, of course, being on the payroll of Sheldon Adelson, who's been called the richest Jew in the world, or maybe it's the richest Jew in Israel. I forget which, but none of these pro-Israel war hawks, they were opposed by the military, and they opposed the military. And yet, as I say, my friend, the big shot lawyer, just really has it in his mind that somehow George Bush was out there doing the work of the American military, doing God's work, when, if anything, it was not God's work, it was the devil's work. And that's putting it lightly. That's putting it lightly, ladies and gentlemen. They're talking about giving a medal to this guy that tossed the shoes at George W. Bush. What a guy. Now, I know some of you out there are saying, oh, you're being disloyal to our president because a foreigner threw shoes at him and threatened the president and called him a dog. Well, I didn't like the idea that he called the president a dog, because I do like dogs. However, I understand that in some cultures, dogs are considered pretty bad, and that's the right of people to feel that way. But in any case, I wouldn't have called George Bush a dog. I would have called him a hookworm. He is a leech, ladies and gentlemen, and I'll be glad to see him gone. Now, I know a lot of you are out there saying, oh, my God, but he's being replaced by Barack Obama. Anything, with the possible exception of John McCain or John Hagee, is better than George W. Bush, ladies and gentlemen. Stay tuned. More commentary. We have some calls. We'll get around to those calls eventually.
Attention, an important product from hempusa.org, microplant powder, will change your life by removing all types of positive toxins, such as heavy metals, parasites, bacteria, viruses, and fungus from the digestive tract and stomach wall so you can absorb nutrients. Microplant powder is 89% silica and packed with a negative charge that attracts positive toxins from the blood, organs, spine, and brain. This product has the ability to rebuild cartilage and bone, which allows synovial fluid to return to the joints. Silica is a precursor to calcium, meaning the body turns silica into calcium and is great for the heart. There is no better time than now to have microplant powder on your shelf or in your storage shelter. And with an unlimited shelf life, you can store it anywhere. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. It's a great way to change your life. So call 908-691-2608 or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Are you new to freeze-drying foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Can't decide what to give your friends and family this Christmas? Why not give them the most unique gift available by helping them protect their credit card numbers and personal information from thieves? There are now millions of credit cards, debit cards, and passports in circulation that contain an RFID chip. These new cards and passports make transactions a breeze, but introduce a new threat to your personal information. These cards can be read while still in your wallet or purse. So, this Christmas, give your friends and family a pack of secure sleeves from Identity Stronghold. Our radio blocking secure sleeves block the signals needed to read the RFID chip inside their new credit cards and passports, keeping their personal data safe and secure. You can buy them on the web at www.idstronghold.com. That's www.idstronghold.com. Or call toll-free 800-610-2770. 800-610-2770. Order now and get them in time for Christmas. Go to idstronghold.com today.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here, ranting and raving and rambling on about a variety of topics that I consider relevant, which maybe you don't. But in any case, I'm the host. Actually, this is a plea for anyone out there who is a bit of an assassination researcher, specifically the JFK assassination. You know, it's funny, I've written so much about the Kennedy assassination, have these massive files that I've accumulated, which someday I think I'm going to put up for auction on eBay and let somebody else have some fun with them. But in any case, last night I was talking about Mr. Robert Groden, who described my book Final Judgment and its support for that book as a quote-unquote anti-Semitic situation. Never heard it put that way before. And I pointed out that Mr. Groden's former friend and partner, now possibly his arch enemy, Harrison Edward Livingstone, has said that Mr. Groden's pet theory about the JFK assassination, at least at one point, was that the Nazis had been behind it. The Nazis and the Ku Kluxers and the National States Rights Party and all manner of evil right-wing anti-Semites, I guess. And part of that theory is that there was a character by the name of Joseph Miltier who had advanced knowledge about the assassination. Well, those of you who are versed in this esoterica regarding this matter will recall that the story of Mr. Miltier was told by a police informant, either a Florida Florida police informant, state police, or Miami police informant. I can't remember which, and I've seen contradictory reports about it, but his name was Willie Somerset. Well, what's interesting, ladies and gentlemen, is that I do recall coming across some information, possibly from federal Freedom of Information Act reports, that this guy, Mr. Somerset, who is popularly and most generally described as a police informant, and who is providing the proof that Mr. Grodin uses that the Nazis, the anti-Semites, the Ku Kluxers, and the National States Rights Party were the JFK killers. Mr. Somerset, in fact, was brought to the attention of the police authorities by a group known as the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith. In other words, the source of Willie Somerset's rise to fame was sponsorship by the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith. Now, my point, ladies and gentlemen, is that I have tried to find the material on the Internet. I can't find it on the Internet, but I'm like 99.999% certain that there is an ADL connection between Willie Somerset. There is an ADL connection to Willie Somerset. And if my memory, which is pretty good in details, although sometimes not in book titles and book authors, but if my pretty good memory tells me correctly, yes, in fact, the Anti-Defamation League had a part in setting up Willie Somerset as this informant. So if there's anybody out there who has any knowledge of that and can pass me on any information, I would appreciate it. I have it somewhere in my files, and I'm about 99.999% certain that I'm correct on that. My email is michaelcollinspiper1960. That's the year I was born. michaelcollinspiper1960@yahoo.com. I think I know someone who could probably set me straight as to where that information can be found. But as I say, there again, one of the key sources that the Ku Klux Klan and the Nazis killed JFK, turns out the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith. I'm sure that, folks, if anybody out there can help me out on that, I'd appreciate it. Well, you know, it's funny. Last night on the program, I mentioned these politically correct fools who barred children from dressing up as Indians. Yes, I said Indians, American Indians. I'm part American Indian, so I can say it. American Indians and pilgrims during Thanksgiving celebrations. I went on to comment that, to the best of my knowledge, a lot of that story about the first Thanksgiving was apocryphal. Well, I could be right about that. I could be wrong about that. But I can tell you this much. There is a Cape Cod-based tribe, which is, and forgive me, tribe, if you're listening in, the Mashpee Wampanoag tribe, and the members of which are said to have attended what is historically considered the first Thanksgiving. It sought and received federal recognition in 2000. Well, it turns out, sadly enough, ladies and gentlemen, that the chief of this tribe, or I should say the former chairman of the tribe, Glenn Marshall of Mashpee, Minnesota, has been forced to plead guilty to violating campaign finance laws. And guess who he was working with? Guess whose web he got caught up in? That of Jack Israel First Abramoff. So here's an American Indian who probably thought he and his tribe would get a good deal because they were working with Jack Abramoff, not knowing that there were some good people in the Justice Department and the FBI who weren't going to let this slime ball Abramoff continue to corrupt so many people. So here's a poor American Indian gone down the tubes alongside Jack Abramoff. What a damn shame. I'd like to see Jack Abramoff scalped. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Can't decide what to give your friends and family this Christmas? Why not give them the most unique gift available by helping them protect their credit card numbers and personal information from thieves? There are now millions of credit cards, debit cards, and passports in circulation that contain an RFID chip. These new cards and passports make transactions a breeze, but introduce a new threat to your personal information. These cards can be read while still in your wallet or purse. So, this Christmas, give your friends and family a pack of secure sleeves from Identity Stronghold. Our radio blocking secure sleeves block the signals needed to read the RFID chip inside their new credit cards and passports, keeping their personal data safe and secure. You can buy them on the web at www.idstronghold.com. That's www.idstronghold.com. Or call toll-free 800-610-2770. 800-610-2770. Order now and get them in time for Christmas. Go to idstronghold.com today.
Hi, this is Tommy John. I may not be pitching for the major leagues anymore, but that doesn't mean I don't like to stay active. But like you, I get those pesky joint pains that come with age. So I take GoFlex. GoFlex is the 1-2 punch to knock out pain. It has an FDA-approved cream to quickly relieve joint pain and a doctor-approved vitamin that will guard your mobility and flexibility. So if you're suffering from pains associated with arthritis or the aches that come with age, GoFlex will help you. I know firsthand what pain is like. Years ago, they did a surgery on my arm so famous that they named it after me, the Tommy John surgery. Today, I don't let joint pain slow me down, and neither should you. If you're suffering from minor aches and pains, even the kind associated with arthritis, try GoFlex, risk-free. Thanks to GoFlex, even at my age, I can still throw batting practice.
To order GoFlex risk-free, dial 800-362-5848. That's 800-362-5848. 800-362-5848.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Before the break, I was talking about how Jack Abramoff had corrupted this Indian chief. I guess I should call him the chairman of the tribe, although he was the chief. But you know, you'll recall poor old Congressman Bob Ney of Ohio. Now, I've heard some people say I shouldn't call him poor old Congressman Bob Ney because they had some dirt on him. But you'll recall that one of the things that he did that got himself caught up in Jack Abramoff's Zionist web was to award, he was chairman of the House committee that oversees congressional affairs, that is, the activities of the U.S. Capitol. Abramoff awarded, I think it was a no-bid contract, to an Israeli telecommunications company to handle all the cell phone communications coming in and out of the U.S. Capitol complex. In other words, yes, ladies and gentlemen, an Israeli company had the capacity to hear every single one of the cellular calls coming out of Congress and all the congressional aides. And, you know, unless I'm mistaken, folks, unless I am mistaken, I do believe I read the other day that they actually issued that certain parts of the government, certain parts of the U.S. Capitol, that is, actually issues official cell phones to staff members and to members of Congress. But whether or not that's the case, I could be mistaken about that, but the fact is, here we had an Israeli company, ladies and gentlemen, a foreign company. It just happens to be an Israeli company, a foreign company having access to all the cell phone calls coming out of the U.S. Capitol. Okay, slight shift of approach, but not really that far. Hollywood private eye Anthony Pelicano was sentenced Monday to 15 years in prison for running a wiretapping scheme that spied on the rich and famous. It says he wiretapped stars such as Sylvester Stallone and bribed police officers to run the names of comedians such as Gary Shandling through law enforcement databases to dig up dirt that clients could use in legal and other disputes. Ladies and gentlemen, how different is that than what the Anti-Defamation League has been doing since it was first founded in 1913? How different is that from the Anti-Defamation League trading information with police informants, including Tim Carroll in San Diego, who helped orchestrate the illegal raid on my longtime employer Willis Cardo's house, in collaboration with a character by the name of Mark Weber, who swore out a fraudulent arrest warrant that was used by the police to launch that raid? How different is that from the police in San Francisco collaborating with Roy Bullock to the part it became so outrageous that the police themselves had to investigate it? The Anti-Defamation League, no one was prosecuted in the Anti-Defamation League for doing precisely what Mr. Pelicano had done, and which he faces 15 years in prison. Double standards here at work, folks. Double standards, double standards. Say a prayer for Anthony Pelicano, and once they lock him up, send him a letter about the Anti-Defamation League and tell him, Anthony, you should start crying about a double standard. Well, today, for the first time in history, I picked up a fashion magazine called Men's Vogue. There's always been this Vogue for women, I guess, but they call this one Men's Vogue. The reason why I picked it up, ladies and gentlemen, was not because I want to catch up on the latest in men's fashion, but because there's a very interesting article in there. It made reference on the cover to the Titanic, but then you get inside and you find out that it's actually about the sinking of the Lusitania. Now, for years, ladies and gentlemen, as you know, I've always been interested in the sinking of the Titanic for years and years and years before it became fashionable. But, ladies and gentlemen, as you know, for years, the U.S. and British officials have denied that there were munitions aboard the Lusitania when it was sunk in 1915 by the Germans. Well, guess what? They've done some new exploration of the Lusitania, and it turns out that there are 303 bullets there, and it appears as though there's not just more than the handful that they brought up. There are cases and cases and cases. So the physical evidence shows that, yes, ladies and gentlemen, our U.S. government lied to us. We were lied to by our government, ladies and gentlemen. And it goes on to say in the article, the implications of the research could be vast and far-reaching, proving that the Lusitania was indeed carrying high explosives on board would potentially rewrite the history of World War I. Ultimately, the research may cast shadows on the reputations of various American and British officials, particularly Sir Winston Churchill, who, as First Lord of the Admiralty during World War I, is widely thought to have known much more than he ever let on about the Lusitania's final voyage. They ought to dig Winston Churchill up, cut off his head, stuff it full of garlic, and hang it on a post and let the world see this traitor, this murderer that he is. All right, folks, I could go on here. I could go on, but I'm not going to. We have a few callers lined up here. And the first one I'm going to bring up is Patty from Maryland. And I'm going to start off by asking Patty if she is the Patty who sent me an email that I read in part on the air last night. Hello, Patty.
Hello, it is I.
It is. Okay, Patty. Well, welcome aboard. I think this is the first time you've ever really called a show.
Well, it is, because I generally get so caught up with what I'm listening to.
Okay.
I don't want to, you know, and you let off with a subject tonight that's just near and dear to my heart. And let me just start off with Merry Christmas to you.
Okay. All right, thank you.
You know what I did at the office? I deliberately took in a Christmas cactus. Just so every time someone commented on it, I could say, well, it's a Christmas cactus, but, you know, we have to refer to it as a holiday cactus.
Holiday cactus, okay.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
All right.
Yeah, but listen, the reason I'm calling, I believe I need to thank Dave for helping me to finally come to a resolution regarding an issue I've been grappling with for some time. And that's who is to blame for the mess this world is in. Okay?
Okay.
And I'm referring to his opinion regarding why perhaps Alex Jones and Alan Watt then addressed the Jewish issue. And mm-hmm. the first point he made was that possibly they didn't want to alienate their good Jewish listeners. But then he followed that up with he disagrees with their method or approach. And I think he's saying he believes it's wrong that they ignore the Jewish issue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So when I was thinking about that later on in the evening, I don't know, I guess I had a little personal epiphany or something. And I would just like to present this as food for thought.
Okay, go ahead.
Nothing else. All right, Alex Jones. I have no idea where he's really coming from. He's all over the place. Okay, God love him. But Alan Watt, who just steadfastly maintains the course, does a lot of research on the Anglo-American camp, and he draws heavily on the ancient mystery religions, which eventually evolved into secret societies, Freemasons, and some religions that are practiced today, okay? And while I was thinking about all of that, a vision of a pyramid came to mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I suddenly saw things very clearly for myself, okay? I visualized the base of the pyramid representing the beginning of all evil, okay? It's the ancient religions are there, the cults, the secret societies, whatever. Then I visualize one side of the pyramid representing the Zionist Jews, and then the other side, the Anglo-American establishment. And both sides climb in and if you could say, clawing their way towards the seat of absolute power, the
mm-hmm.
apex,
mm-hmm.
okay? And I guess in my mind, I thought there isn't just one group. There's two very, very bad groups. And I, in direct response to Dave, I really and truly believe we need researchers like you who focus on the Jews, but we also need researchers like Alan Watt who present another historical, well-documented angle. Because deep down, I really believe that neither group of the bad guys is single-handedly responsible for the mess this world is in. I really believe they all crawled out of the same swamp. So I feel that we shouldn't point fingers at only the Jews. I think to narrow the field down to simply everyone versus the Jews is self-destructive.
Well, I'll tell you what, Patty. I would agree. I think your analogy of a pyramid is very, very interesting. There's probably 50 different people who could come up with 50 different variations of that, including turning the pyramid upside down. But I would just point this much out about this question of the Anglo-American establishment.
Yes.
If you read the works of Carol Quigley.
Well, I have.
He wrote the famous book Tragedy and Hope, and then he followed it up with a book called The Anglo-American Establishment. The fact
yes.
is that Carol Quigley makes it pretty clear in that book that what he calls the Anglo-American Establishment are primarily, and I don't have the book here handy in front of me, but I happen to be using it for some research on a new book that I'm working on. He makes it very, very clear that the primary financial forces in the Anglo part of that Anglo-American establishment have been Jewish houses, Jewish financial houses around the sphere of influence of the Rothschild family. Consequently, the American corresponding financial interests have generally been financial interests that have been either set up or have collaborated with the Rothschilds. And in fact, that's something that's kind of interesting, because they had an investigation called the Peugeot Committee back in like the early 1900s. And they found that one of the primary influences in both of the what were perceived by the public to be competing financial interests, actually Rothschild interests had their foot or their fingers or both their feet and their fingers in both camps. So actually, although I don't speak for Alan Watt, but when he talks about the Anglo-American establishment, he actually is talking about the Rothschild element, whether he even realizes it or not. I've only ever listened to Alan's show once or twice. I find it very, very interesting, and I think he covers a lot of areas that do need to be explored. But this is something you do have to keep in mind, that in a sense, when you're talking about the Anglo-American establishment, you also have to keep in mind that establishment, which comes out of what they call the City of London, has been dominated by Jewish families and financial interests even long before the Rothschilds emerged as the major powers that they are.
Right.
So this is something, as a matter of fact, it's interesting you bring it up. This is something that I am working, a book, which I'm working on. It's about 90% finished, in which I explore this whole correlation between the rise of the international Jewish money power and from it then the emergence of the Rothschilds, and then through the sponsorship of the Rothschilds, the Zionist movement itself. So there's a continuing thread. So your point is well taken, but as I say, you can't get away from that Jewish connection, particularly when it comes to the Rothschilds, and taking it back further to the Talmud and its origins in ancient Babylon. So anyway, I've talked a lot here, so why don't you talk a little bit more if you have more to say?
Well, I just wanted to tell you that until I started listening to you. And Rick Adams and Mark Dankoff and the Liberty Hour, and those are the shows that, you know, come to my mind immediately. I place all blame and responsibility on the European houses of royalty. And then their cohorts on this side of the Atlantic and the Freemasons and so on. But now I realize I wasn't fully aware. And what if I only listened to Alan or others like him? My perspective and knowledge would be so limited. So I appreciate the fact that everyone brings something different to the table.
Absolutely.
And that's why I just so appreciate RBN, because there are different perspectives that we can draw from,
mm-hmm.
and it just helps to see the larger picture.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's my point. So I wish, you know, that... Well, I don't want to pick on Dave because he's a nice fella. You know what? Because he helped me just bring things into a better perspective, he is going to be my male muse.
Okay.
I don't think there's ever been a male muse before.
Well, there is now. There is now.
Yeah. Dave of Massachusetts.
I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll tell you, I'll put you guys in touch by email. How's that sound?
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
All right, Patty. Listen, okay. Patty, I'm glad you called. Very interesting call. Very much appreciated. And guess what? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
All right, Patty. Good to hear from you.
All right,
ladies and gentlemen, great call from Patty. All right. Well, I tell you what, we do have Dave from Massachusetts aboard. We are going to the break here momentarily. I think since Dave was the star attraction here this evening, when we come back, we will bring our male muse, Dave from Massachusetts. All right. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that was a very interesting call from Patty, and I'm glad she called. She's, as I said last night, I read a substantial portion of her very long and very interesting email. And she is a very articulate lady and obviously a very thoughtful lady. But you know what? She represents the kind of people who do listen to this network and who appreciate what RBN provides. Free, every night, hours on end, and on the archives. So that is why you need to send a Christmas card to RBN with a nice donation to RBN, a Christmas gift to RBN, folks. And if you don't consider yourself a Christian, even if you consider yourself a pagan, just send a gift to RBN, because RBN sure deserves it. All right, stay tuned, folks.
Can't decide what to give your friends and family this Christmas? Why not give them the most unique gift available by helping them protect their credit card numbers and personal information from thieves? There are now millions of credit cards, debit cards, and passports in circulation that contain an RFID chip. These new cards and passports make transactions a breeze, but introduce a new threat to your personal information. These cards can be read while still in your wallet or purse. So, this Christmas, give your friends and family a pack of secure sleeves from Identity Stronghold. Our radio blocking secure sleeves block the signals needed to read the RFID chip inside their new credit cards and passports, keeping their personal data safe and secure. You can buy them on the web at www.idstronghold.com. That's www.idstronghold.com. Or call toll-free 800-610-2770. 800-610-2770. Order now and get them in time for Christmas. Go to idstronghold.com today.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Hi, this is Tommy John. I may not be pitching for the major leagues anymore, but that doesn't mean I don't like to stay active. But like you, I get those pesky joint pains that come with age. So I take GoFlex. GoFlex is the 1-2 punch to knock out pain. It has an FDA-approved cream to quickly relieve joint pain and a doctor-approved vitamin that will guard your mobility and flexibility. So if you're suffering from pains associated with arthritis or the aches that come with age, GoFlex will help you. I know firsthand what pain is like. Years ago, they did a surgery on my arm so famous that they named it after me, the Tommy John surgery. Today, I don't let joint pain slow me down, and neither should you. If you're suffering from minor aches and pains, even the kind associated with arthritis, try GoFlex, risk-free. Thanks to GoFlex, even at my age, I can still throw batting practice.
To order GoFlex risk-free, dial 800-362-5848. That's 800-362-5848. 800-362-5848.
Ladies and gentlemen, the shocking announcement here. Dave from Massachusetts now has a blog. The address is davefrommassachusetts.wordpress.com. davefrommassachusetts.wordpress.com. This is frightening news, and we're going to go ahead and bring Dave up right now. Dave, the muse.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Michael.
How you doing, Dave?
It was delightful to hear from Patty, huh?
Yeah. I'm glad she called in. That was a great call. Very interesting call, too.
Yeah, I hope she starts calling in on a regular basis now that she's broken the ice, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mark Brother Mark set me up with the blog site, Michael, you know?
Well, you do have a way with a turn of phrase, Dave, so I'll be looking forward to seeing what you have to say.
Yeah, I sent it out in email form to people who were on my email list, and then I put it on my blog. It's the first thing I've ever posted on the internet, Michael. And you know, at AA, sometimes I go to the AA meetings, and one of their favorite banners is "First Things First." And so I figured, since this is the first time I've ever posted anything on the internet, I'd start with "First Things First." So. The title of this little essay, this essay is just entitled God.
Okay. Oh, I got that. I think I got that from you.
Did you read it?
Yes, I did. It was very, very interesting. I didn't realize or I didn't note that you had posted it on a blog, though. That's interesting.
Yeah. I sent it out an email form first, and then I didn't know how to put it on my blog. I guess you have to have a password and different things. Mark set it up for me, so I guess he has the password or whatever. But I sent the email to Mark, and he put it on what do you call it, the blog site or a blog?
Your guess is as good as mine.
So. So, anyways, yeah. But actually, what I did you say you already read it, Michael?
Yes, I did get that from you. I didn't, like I say though, I didn't realize it was going to be. I didn't realize you were blogging now, though. I just got the email. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's on the blog now too. So yeah, you know, basically, it's on the topic of the Holy Trinity. And for centuries, these theologians have been muddying the waters. They've been just obfuscating it and convoluting it and confusing it. And they really screw it up, Michael.
I think that's maybe a lot of that's deliberate, and a lot of it is just by quirk of fate. Once somebody's set up as a theologian, that makes them a quote-unquote expert. You know what I think about experts.
Right, yeah, we covered that last night.
Mm-hmm.
I think folks will find that interesting. It's really appropriate for the for Christmas.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, Michael, I called into the political cesspool Saturday night. It was the last call, and I offered a deal to the Jews about Christmas and everything. And I don't know if I'll get into it on this call, but I made an offer to the Jews about Christmas. And, well, maybe I will. Well. Yeah, okay.
Well, I'll tell you what, Dave, you're not going to be able to get into it now because we've run out of time.
hey, you know, there's a new book out, Michael. It's called Hitler's Private Library.
I have a copy of that book and was reading an article about it tonight, and I'm going to comment about it on the show maybe tomorrow night.
Oh, okay. Hey, listen.
Dave, we're running out of time. We're going to have to go to your blog, davefrommassachusetts.wordpress.com. Apologies to those other callers we couldn't bring up here this evening, but God willing, we'll be here tomorrow night. Maybe I won't talk so long. Have a good evening, folks. See you here tomorrow night.
Hello, my name